This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
301-230-0980, the number right here on the Hoffman Show. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock. Youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham sitting in for Craig Hoffman. One final day, Craig, back with you tomorrow for day number two of the practice week for the Washington Commanders. Speaking of the Burgundy and Gold, we'll continue our conversation on the Local 53 as we go out to the guest hotline where we find our pal J.P. Finley, one half of B. Mitch and Finley, which you can check out every day, Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. Do you like J.P. Finley? Can we rock with you like that, brother, man?
Yeah. You know, I'm always up for a new nickname. I heard you're going by, like,
Messiah
or something now. Is that accurate?
I was told by our unquestioned leader, CK, to never bring up my new nickname ever again. So I'm going to ignore that you even said that.
I'm just glad for the first time you're listening to CK.
Damn, the digs are coming hot and heavy for my brother JP.
Hey, look. What do you want from me?
Well, look. I'll be real with you. There's really nothing I could complain about right now in life based on the way my beloved Commanders are playing. I know we're in the midst of a two-game losing streak, JP, but you were out there in Ashburn today, first day of the practice week. From your vantage point, being in the locker room and being around the guys, what's the vibe around this team right now coming out of this mini-bye?
They feel pretty good. I think they feel pretty rested. You know, being in the locker room the day before that Eagles game, they were just beat up. And yeah. I think, you know, the combination of Steelers right into the Eagles on 5 days was just really a killer after 11 straight games. I think they needed the rest. I think they see the opportunity in front of them now. And I know it's been really easy to kind of mock, perhaps, or at least just be a little dismissive of DQ saying, yeah, we just need practice, and even Jaden saying, yeah, we need the reps.
Yeah.
But I went through and, like, kind of did the math based off the injury reports, and, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize, like, if you're limited on the injury report, can really mean that you don't do much in practice.
Right.
It just means you have to participate in individual drills, which for quarterbacks are pretty non-invested with the rest of the team anyway. Like, QBs kind of exist off to the side in their own area, really, until you get into, like, 11-on-11 or 7-on-7 work. And by my rough math, and I could be off a hair, so Jaden got hurt on October 20th, Panthers game.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't listed as a full participant in practice until November 1st. And then they only really had one full week of practice going into the Steelers practice.
Yeah.
And then there were basically no practices going into the Eagles week, understandably, because it's so short and they just do these, like, walkthroughs and estimated practices. I think since he's gotten injured with the ribs, at most, Jaden has participated in four full practices in a month.
Yeah.
So, like, could that impact timing and then really, really, like, specific areas? Yeah, I think it could.
I continue to start to buy and subscribe to that notion more and more, JP, the more we get further removed from it, especially when you go back and look at what Philadelphia did and the challenges they present as a defense changing the picture post-snap. It's hard to prepare for that with a normal practice week, but you put it in the realm of in the context of being limited, I could see how the task was a lot more difficult for Jaden. For him in particular, as we move through the stretch run of this season, if teams are able to, and I know this is a big if, and I give credit to Pittsburgh and I give credit to Philadelphia. Against Philadelphia, they rushed him with four and they made him hold on to the football a little bit longer maybe than he wanted to. Big picture here, if teams are going to make him stay in the pocket the way that Pittsburgh and Philly did, does Washington have enough to support him to be able to live that type of lifestyle? I guess is what I'm asking, JP.
I don't know if we know, right? I think.
Because he can do it. There's no question about whether he could play from the pocket. It's do they have enough around him that they can survive like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are upset with Ertz because of they think he didn't get to the spot at the end of that Steelers game. Ertz has been really good for them. They don't have a true number two wide receiver, but it doesn't mean they can't coalesce that group around there. I think Eckler's been really good for them. So, like, does he have, if he has to win from the pocket, can he? Yes. Does he have, like, the best operation to get that done? No.
Yeah.
But I think that is a clear example of where they're in year one of a new operation, and they're building. And I also think the Eagles and the Steelers might have been uniquely positioned to kind of slow him down and keep him in the pocket. And I don't know that Dallas is that team. I don't know, and I know which way I tend to think, but I don't know. But, like, it's possible that there's a book now out from the last 2 weeks on what limits Jaden's running ability from Pittsburgh and Philly. But it's also possible that other teams just can't implement that.
Right.
Like, exactly. Having Patrick Queen play really, really well, and then having that N'Kobe Dean game on Thursday night, and the O-line being a mess, especially in Philly, and having interior disruptions. Like, that's just such a perfect storm of events that not every team in every situation is going to be able to replicate.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think N'Kobe Dean and Patrick Queen were huge in both of those two defenses' game plan. Against Mike Zimmer, I haven't watched a ton of Dallas yet, but I know just from his time in Minnesota and his reputation around the league, a lot of double-A gap stuff from him, something else that could muddy up the picture post-snap for Jaden Daniels. But when you look at Dallas's pass rush, JP, it's Micah Parsons, and the rest of the group is pretty unheralded when Tank Lawrence isn't on the field. You mentioned the struggles of this offensive line against two really good fronts. Do you worry at all about Micah Parsons' ability to wreck this football game?
You have to be cognizant of that, right? Like 100%. But, dude, if you think about, they've done fairly well on the edges. When they've faced Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt. They've faced some of the absolute best edge rushers in the NFL, and it hasn't, you know, Watt laid a couple serious hits but didn't actually register a stat. Garrett, I don't think, registered much of anything. Now, Parsons, they move around a lot more, whereas, you know, Watt and Garrett are, like, just traditional pass rush, edge rushers. So Parsons is a bit of a different threat, but I feel like they've done pretty well. Now, the Philly D-line, front seven, whatever you want to call that group, had more success against Washington.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that – dude, I mean, I know that you go back and watch all this and watch the trenches. Tyler Biadasz has been so good for them all
he's
year.
He's hurt right now.
And he really struggled against Philly. And so when you put that math together, I talked to him today. He had like a rapish-looking cast on his thumb.
Yeah.
Said he felt great, though. You know, O-line health. He's like, everybody's full go. It's the best everybody's been in a while. Like, I think a lot of the Philly struggles, and Philly's got good players. Jalen Carter, obviously. Nolan Smith's really good, but like, I think a lot of that was Washington's injuries, and you hope, you don't know, but you hope some actual rest will help.
That is the hope coming up against the Cowboys on Sunday. Real quick, I want to ask you about this defense, JP. I've been really impressed with them, and I think I learned a lot about that group over the two-game stretch as well, limiting Pittsburgh's ground attack the way that they did, and then really limiting Philadelphia's ground attack until the fourth quarter where the dam kind of busts. Do you think we're at a point right now with this defense, JP, where when you get Marshon Lattimore into the fold and you're able to get a little bit more creative, is it a group that maybe they're going to be able to lean on a little bit down the stretch if they have to?
It's starting to look that way. I think the last two games, it was just, not to sound like Bill Callahan, but the lack of complimentary football. The defense played pretty darn well. I mean, what A.J. Brown had, what, 55 yards in that game? And everybody was terrified of what he might do in the pass game. I think the first Saquon touchdown was just the levy breaking, to your point. I think the second one was, oh, hell, how did we lose this? And now just stuff's going wrong.
Yeah.
But I think defensively, the best thing that could happen, and I've been kind of sending warning flags about this for weeks now, even going back to the Bears game, is time of possession. They've been really bad on third downs all of a sudden after being excellent at it all year. Mm-hmm. You got to sustain drives, man, and you got to sustain offense. And that Steelers game, of the losses in the last month, I think that Steelers game is where you really kick yourself because they gave it away. They had a double-digit lead in the second half, yeah, and they generated two turnovers. And off the two turnovers, the offense generated one first down.
That's tough.
Your defense rewarded you. You got two second-half turnovers, yeah, and you did nothing with it.
Yeah, it's a compound on the third down woes. I believe the number is 8 of 26 over the past 2 weeks on third down, which is like, it's hard to be that bad on third down. A lot of that has to do with, I think they've lost their punch a little bit in the run game. Guys aren't targeting and fitting properly. It's been a struggle for them. Granted, against two really good defensive fronts. JP, I'll let you go on this. I'm kind of surprised no one's brought it up yet. We mentioned the defense. One guy that could help the defense pick things up to another notch maybe is Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Any word on his return from the ankle injury? Is he eligible to return to practice?
I mean, they opened his window.
So that did happen. I didn't even know that. Okay. For me not to know that, JP, I'm disappointed. I'm on everything.
But you're sitting at your computer. Pull up their
– I'm looking at it now. They designated him
to
return.
Positive. Yeah, okay. Make me feel crazy as I sit in Beltway traffic.
I just didn't notice. But yeah. How big is his return be? He was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that changes your season or anything, but it's always good to have a rotational piece, a depth piece, a guy that can get after the quarterback.
For sure. For sure. You know, so Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I'm disappointed, JP.
I'm not trying to, but I'm not trying to oversell.
No, I get you. I get you. I get you 100%. To finish an interview asking about the fourth string, seventh round defensive end was not the best radio, my friend. But I appreciate you, as always, my guy, giving us some time. Enjoy that Beltway traffic, my man.
It sucks.
It's JP Finley, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out B. Mitch and Finley weekdays 10 to 2 over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. So Javonte Jean-Baptiste is back. No one asked about him. I've been, pestering, Russell about this, but he is on his way back. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders, Jayden Daniels, as he spoke for the first time this week. We'll also let you hear from Caps head coach Spencer Carberry. He joined the Junkies this morning and gave a critical update on the return and status of Alex Ovechkin. All that and more coming up next here on the Team 980.